Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the evangelist Charles Spurgeon once said, "As flies in the summer, so will temptations torment you, go where you may." All of us have had and will experience temptation to sin. Our text speaks about such evil enticement. Regarding temptation, this passage from 1 Corinthians 10, together with other portions of Scripture, presents to us both a word of warning and a word of encouragement. The word of warning has different aspects. One is that temptation often will come to us after we have been richly blessed by the Lord. That is what happened to the Israelites in the time of Moses. God, using his servant Moses, miraculously delivered his chosen people from slavery in Egypt. He, through Moses, performed mighty deeds, the plagues in Egypt and the parting of the sea, all for the benefit of the Israelites. At the sea, God manifested his presence with a cloud. As the Israelites passed through the water on dry ground, they were, as our text says, baptized into Moses, better baptized into union with Moses. Through this miracle involving water, they were separated from the Egyptians. They were unified into a separate and sacred group devoted totally to Yahweh. They were united with Moses, God's representative, through whom God gave them deliverance. This event at the sea, tremendous in itself, in addition was, as Paul indicates in these verses, a type, a foreshadowing of Christian baptism. Through this miracle of baptism, also involving water, we were separated from the unbelieving world. We became part of a unified group which belongs totally to God. We were united with Christ, through whom we have deliverance from sin. Besides God's wondrous deeds in Egypt and at the sea, the Israelites experienced other blessings from the Lord. They ate spiritual food, namely manna. This nourishment was not a product of nature. It had no ordinary origin. Rather, this manna was provided for them by God in miraculous fashion. So Psalm 78 refers to it as the grain of heaven and angel's bread. Likewise, they were drinking spiritual drink throughout their wilderness wandering. It is called this because it came from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That spiritual rock was Christ, who did not allow the Israelites to perish from thirst. He provided the water, both by miracle and in natural fashion, which sustained them. Paul evidently refers to Christ with the term rock because on two occasions, Christ, in his omnipotence, supplied water for the Israelites from a rocky cliff. After all these awesome blessings, however, temptations came to the Israelites. Most of them gave into one or more of these enticements to evil. Paul writes that with most of them, God was not pleased, and so they received various judgments from the Lord. We take warning from this portion of the history of Israel. When we have been richly blessed by the Lord, physically and or spiritually, or when we haven't had temptations for a brief period, the danger is that we will let down our guard. Paul warns that anyone who thinks that he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Further, our text impresses on us the fact that temptation is temptation. That is, it is a real, powerful, sinister pull to evil. The devil knows when to hit us. Temptation can come unexpectedly and at any time. when we are at home, at the communion rail, or driving to the seminary. The devil knows how to hit us. He is aware of our individual weak points and what especially will appeal to our flesh, our sinful nature. Satan directs his strongest attacks at believers, those who are not in his kingdom. A Christian might experience a short pause in being attacked by the devil, but he can be sure it will not be long before Satan comes back. The life of the believer here on earth is one of constant spiritual warfare. Paul says in Ephesians that we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So what is the word of encouragement regarding temptation that comes to us from our text and the rest of Scripture? This encouragement, as the word of warning, has different aspects. One is the reminder that it is not a sin to be tempted. We are, though, to flee those situations which can bring us temptation. We recall the famous saying of Luther, "You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair." The sin, of course, is to give in to the temptation. And God knows how often we have done that. Another aspect of the encouragement is Paul's statement that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. At times we think, no one has gone through some of the temptations that I have. Wrong. The details and circumstances may vary somewhat from individual to individual, from generation to generation, but the bottom line remains the same. All temptations were, are, and will be alluring inducements to go against God's moral law, whether in thought, word, or deed. Specifically, believers through the centuries have had, in essence, similar temptations. To a large extent, Moses, Isaiah, Paul, Peter, Athanasius, Luther, Chemnitz, and others were afflicted with the same seductive efforts of Satan that we are. This observation also includes a very special believer, the perfect man, Jesus Christ, who was and is also true God. The author of Hebrews writes, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are." That brings us to another aspect of the word of encouragement. The rest of that verse in Hebrews goes on to proclaim that Christ, although he was tempted as we are, never once fell into sin. He lived a perfect life, keeping all of God's commands as the world's substitute. He, bearing humanity's sins, including all the times that we have given in to temptation, made full payment for those trespasses with his suffering and death on a cross. Then he arose from the dead, proving that he was the victor over death, sin, and Satan. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we who have been led by Satan into sin have complete forgiveness. We are covered with the righteousness Christ acquired with his holy life, his innocent suffering and death, and with his resurrection from the dead. Therefore, we have fellowship with God and everlasting life. The final aspect of the word of encouragement is this. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. The devil is totally, 100% under the control of God, as the story of Job, for example, dramatically illustrates. God won't let Satan throw at us more than we can handle at that particular point in our life. And when the devil hits us with a temptation, God provides us with a way of escape so that we don't have to fall into sin. The way of escape may vary from temptation to temptation, but it always involves the power of Christ and the means of grace. Through baptism, we were united with Jesus Christ. He, through his gospel and supper, preserves and strengthens our faith. Through those same means, Christ, who overcame Satan, gives us the power to overcome the adversary. So with Christ, we gain the victory. We read in Hebrews, "For because Christ himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." As Christ used Scripture to repulse Satan, saying to him three times, "It is written," so do we. We take and we wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We will resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And by God's grace and power, our victories over temptation can and will increase. Our text presents both a word of warning and a word of encouragement. There is a long struggle that lies before each one of us. We will be tempted until the day we die, and at times we will fall into sin. We won't always use the way of escape. But in Christ, we have forgiveness for our sins. And with Christ, we can and we will gain victories over temptation in ever greater measure. Thanks be to our faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen.